Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We'll get back into some football here momentarily. We got Jeff Darlington, our ESPN NFL insider, will join us. We'll just go around the league a little bit because there's some interesting stuff happening. Did you say he's there now? Oh, we got him now. Okay, great.
Is he done spinning?
No, you know, he's at Seaboard today.
Yeah, no, he's like the Spreewell. They're spinning. They're spinning.
Right. He spins everything.
Spin anything, man. He should go on America's Circus Got Act. Talent. America's Got Talent. Maybe Jeff, he can get some extra cheese on his tacos.
Jeff, have you ever thought about performing, like Bart said, maybe America's Got Talent, something like that? We don't have Jeff now. He's on the phone.
He's got a next tail.
Yeah.
We got to chirp him. Let's chirp him.
I need a chirp drop. That'd be great to have that every now and then when we lose a caller.
Let's chirp him because, like, let's say the phone lines don't work. We can go walkie-talkie mode.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We just got to take the button.
Oh, okay. So he's probably doing SportsCenter. So that's who we're working out with him right now. All right. So in the meantime, as we know, Jeff will be here momentarily with us in about 10 minutes or so. Let's go over what happened last night. So the Knicks lose in Miami in a very physical game. Like, it was – it just felt – you could tell that the Heat were desperate. Knicks had some troubles shooting the three, but they ended up shooting 40% from three. Their offense wasn't the issue. 120 points. They gave up 127. That's the problem. That's two games in a row now where they can't stop anybody. And what's interesting is that there was, I thought, now remember, they play the Heat again next week, next Wednesday at the Garden to finish their season series. The Knicks still have two wins in the season series so far. The Heat have one. The Knicks have a two-game lead over Miami, so they remain in fifth. But still, a game like that, like, you start to worry because they did a lot of trapping. There's a lot of stuff that was going on in that game that, you know, you're looking at the Knicks and thinking, all right, they're showing some weakness here, and that's not great. But there was also frustration. Jimmy Butler was doing a lot of crowing and a lot of, like, again, it's why you love him. You hate playing against him, but you love him. He's so competitive. And Randle was kind of firing back at him, too. So there's some blood. Like, it was like, felt like old school Knicks Heat. And I want you to listen to a couple of things here. Listen to Randle just after the game. He didn't have a great game. It comes off 57-point game, and he only had, I think, 15 points on 7 of 15 shooting. Didn't shoot the three well, but he had 9 assists. The Heat basically said, we're taking him out of the game. We're trapping Brunson, and somebody else has got to beat us. And the problem was that while they had other people that were getting them offense, they couldn't guard anyone.
Tough way to lose. Mm-hmm. We just got to get our defense in order. First off, get our defense in order and find a way to get stops on that end.
It's ridiculous that we are saying about a Tom Thibodeau coach team that the Knicks defense has not been good. Their offense is top 5 now in the league. Yeah. Their defense is almost out of the top 10.
So what are you willing to sacrifice? That's usually what happens, right? Guys are getting enamored with scoring points and offense is flowing. And when do they take their little mini breaks?
That's the problem. I also think Jalen Brunson, since he's been back from injury, and remember, he was out for most of two weeks. You could see, especially late in games, he doesn't have a full battery yet.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. And teams will exploit him in pick and roll. And that's what you've seen the last couple of games. And Minnesota did it. And now, of course, Miami did it. And they play tonight against an Orlando team. I would not sleep on that team. But also something that happened last night, which around the league, a lot of complaining about officiating. The free throws were almost equal between the two, 25-26 for both teams. But the fouls were 25-18. And some of this stuff, Kyle Lowry, who is basically at the end.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is a guy you could tell.
He's got less left than Chris Paul.
Kyle Lowry is a guy that looks like that when he goes on the road, you know, like, he's not, like, he's thinking about what cities am I going to, what can I do? Like, you know what I mean? He's on vacation. Like, he doesn't look like a guy that's locked in anymore. But he gets in this game, and what does he do? He trips himself. He can't get over a screen to save his life. So he pretends that he gets tripped, falls down, he gets the call. Kevin Love. They had Kyle Lowry and Kevin Love on the court at the same time.
Wow.
And you couldn't beat this team? So Kevin Love can't fight through a screen. So what does he do? Again, old veteran tricks.
Yep.
He bear hugs Isaiah Hartenstein and then falls down.
And pulls him on top of him.
And it's like, and he gets the call. So the Knicks were frustrated at some of this, a very physical game, and yet Jimmy Butler could get calls, and Julius Randle, who averages 7 free throws a game, got 1 free throw attempt. How's that possible?
How many did Jimmy Buckets get?
He got 14. So here's Randle about that.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I take that much contact, you know, and I shoot 1 free throw for the game, that pretty much tells the story.
Yeah, that tells the story, all right. Now, again, if you think this is just the Knicks complaining about officiating, you're wrong. Look around the league. In audio files, you're going to hear about something that happened to the Dallas Mavericks that I've never, ever seen happen ever before. Ever. Ever, ever.
Ever, ever?
An official handing the ball to the wrong team.
That was funny.
And then letting the – you got to hear it.
Man, they explained it, too. Like, he points this way.
But it just – come on, man.
They take it, then he puts the thumb backwards, and then they come out. But the thing is, what's crazy about that is the fact that –
But let's do it. Let's do it during audio files.
Okay.
Let's do it during audio files because it's definitely something. But there's still, to me, this team, as you watch them. And again, tonight they play the Magic. It's a back-to-back. Last night was a physical game. Tonight's game I'm worried about. I'm worried
Magic
about tonight's
hard,
game.
Man.
They play hard. They're a young team. They have really nothing
too.
To play for right now. But they will not make – you know, don't think you're walking in and just going to be easy night. That's what I'm worried about off of back-to-back. Tonight's one of those I'm worried about this game tonight situations. And again, they're 10 games over 500. So it's not like all is going to be lost. But you just, come on. You know you want to take momentum into the postseason. And Monday against the Timberwolves was a game you should have won. Even last night, they were up by 2 in the fourth quarter with still like 8 minutes to go. They had a lead. They weren't getting blown out. They weren't like overwhelmed. They were right there neck and neck. Just Miami couldn't miss a three. They don't shoot threes well, and they were hitting threes left and right. Most maddening game. So they're making threes that they normally don't make. They're the worst offense in the league, and they couldn't miss. And then on top of it, you got these guys, you know, the old men at the Y pulling all these veteran tricks, getting calls for themselves. You know, like it was so annoying. I hate that, but that's what you love. Yeah. You love the fact that you're in a game against Miami, and it's Knicks-Miami, and it's that old feeling again. Man, I hate that team. Hate the way they play.
But if Jimmy Butler... They pull you down to the mud. They do. They outfoxed you.
But if Jimmy Butler wants to come play in New York, I'll take him in a heartbeat.
Mm.
I'm telling you, man.
Him or Jaylen Brown.
He is so competitive.
Him or Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's a better outside shooter, too.
But Jimmy... Jimmy's veteran, like...
He's old, man.
Yeah, but he's still got he just, there's something about him in the grind.
You think it's his personality, you know, because you know how he is.
Yeah, right? He'd be a pain in the ass.
He can be disruptive, and I don't know if they have a Adonis Haslam on that squad to say, hey, shut up or I'll punch you in the
face.
Well,
no, you see, what you have is when he just doesn't feel like playing, I got other guys that can play. Miami doesn't have other guys that can play. Bam's good. He's an all-star. But Bam doesn't, like, take over a game like Jimmy can. You know,
it's not like Jimmy's overly skilled either.
He's just a tough
grinder, man.
Smart, and he's not a guy that relies on threes. I'm telling you, man. I'll tell you what, that's a good back and forth. But how about this from Brian Windhorst? He thinks the Knicks this offseason could make some big moves.
They have two handfuls of trade material, in my opinion. They can make two big trades if they had to. Coming into this summer, they have the expiring contract of Evan Fournier, which can act as ballast in a trade. They have a bunch of younger players that people are interested in, and they have something like 9 tradable first-round picks. In my view, they could trade for 2 star-level players if they needed to. It doesn't mean they'd have to do that deal. Those deals in the summer 23. Those deals could be made within the 23-24 season. They could be made in 24. In my opinion, they can hold Jalen Brunson, they can hold Julius Randle, and they could make 2 giant trades. Now, whether they can hold Brunson, Randle, and Barrett and make 2 giant trades, that would depend on the players. But there is even a window that they could hold all 3 of those and make 2 giant trades.
All right, I'm intrigued, Wendy. How? do we do this?
It's going to require, I think, a player to say, send me to New York, and potentially another star player to say, oh, I'll go to New York too. Or for New York to pull a big trade and then a star player going, oh man, they got this and they still got this. I want to do that. I kind of compare it to where the Cavs were in 2014. The Cavs had stuff and they had space, and they used the space on LeBron and they used the stuff for Kevin Love. But I thought this about the Knicks for a while, and it's never happened. But the way they've positioned themselves, and it's because they paid Jalen Brunson. He got $100 million, right, Bobby?
Yeah, 100 plus. Yeah, 100 plus.
It's an excellent contract. So the Knicks are positioned. Leon Rose has put them in position. Now, getting in position is not the hard part. Executing is the hard part, but he's put them in position.
He's right about the execution part. Like, that's where you got to be clever, savvy. You got to be ahead of the game. That's why I said, when it comes to Jaylen Brown and his situation in Boston, I'd be right now finding out what's going on. Like, I'd have all my spies.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an agent, as long as Leon was, you got spies. You got people that know what's going on.
You got Manchurian candidates.
You always have those guys, you know, that are flies on the wall that all hear the whispers. I'm hearing something.
So he's saying two. So you saying Jaylen Brown and Nas Reed?
Well, I don't. Nas Reed's not still. Bobo?
No, Bobo too skinny. We need a doll.
But I mean, like, think about it. I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. If I'm the Knicks, I need to know. The first thing I need to know, is Jaylen Brown serious about saying, well, maybe I need to leave this place? And if he is, all right, would New York be a place that would interest him? Well, and if that is of course it would.
Progressive place.
How
place to live.
Do I make this work? What do I got to do to make this work?
Can I ask you a question, a basketball question?
Yeah.
Let's just say, okay, it's Jaylen Brown. Too many Jaylens. All right, Jaylen Brown, they get Jaylen Brown, they give up, because I think now people are like, oh, I don't care if you trade R.J. Barrett. You know, R.J. Barrett, like you said, expiring contract, Fournier. Somebody, it's probably going to have to be a three-team deal because Boston don't want anything to do with Fournier, right? And let's just say quickly, right? I don't know if that's too much.
That's too much.
Okay, so R.J. Barrett, cause remember, and Mitchell Robinson. Because
Jaylen can walk. Like, he can walk.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So give him a big man and Jaylen Brown, meaning Mitchell Robinson, and then give him maybe quickly.
Well, again, I think you're making it way too complicated with too many pieces.
Is it?
Yes. Way too complicated. It's not going to be that crazy.
Because he can walk, so there's nothing they can do.
Yeah, but, well, again, you can work all that stuff out. We'll get back to this, but Jeff Darlington is now able to join us here.
Let me think about my question I want
to ask you. Yeah, because when you do football trades, you're like, I'm not trading this and I'm not trading that. When you do basketball trades, you're like, just give them this and this and a little bit of that, sprinkle a little bit of this in. Jeff, how you doing?
Good. I like that you have a real good dynamic. You know, you keep Bart in check, which isn't an easy thing to do.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm keeping him in check.
My blood pressure just went down.
Oh,
man.
Wow.
I had the most idiotic caller ever, man. And maybe he keep telling me what they said, but he'll never tell me who they is.
Well, why don't we ask Jeff? Well, let's ask Jeff Darlington, who's our ESPN NFL insider. He's got well connected as anyone in our network. If he thinks that 13th pick will have to be in play in order to get the Aaron Rodgers deal done, what do you think about that, Jeff?
I don't sense that has to be in play, but there's also a reason why this hasn't gotten done yet. So, I mean, I think it's premature to say that anything is or isn't in play. I mean, that's the point of a negotiation. I will absolutely say that trade we saw yesterday, I mean, I'm certainly not surprising anyone here, but that's a move directly formed to create the type of assets to get Aaron. You move from the third round to the second round, get that pick for Elijah Moore, and put Mecole Hardman there, still in the slot, and you're starting to get the ammo. So whatever picks you throw together, you can go ahead and throw that second-round pick in the mix as you try to kind of formulate your trade package.
Right. So this is the thing, right? Our show is perfectly balanced. For every good caller we have, we got an equally or greater dumber call, right? So this was the good. The good was
that. I wonder where I'm falling into that. You know?
No. You're always on the plus side.
Well dressed.
Right? That's why we have you on.
You're our best dressed caller. I know that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you live in Miami forever. You always get to have all the cool, fun stuff, always in season. You don't wear browns and grays in Miami. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to. Because your son's always out. So smart caller, right? Told us that, hey, on the chart, pick 42 and 43 equates to 17 mm-hmm. on the chart, right? So that's right. so that's their first round draft pick right there. Then the other caller, the dumb caller, well, not called dumb caller, the other four, we're coming up with our five crack commandments for our show that gets you the buzzer. Like, if you break any of them, we just push the buzzer and tell you to try another day. But, you know, he was saying that, okay, well, at pick 13, who can you get that's going to protect Aaron Rodgers? And we just kind of went over to pick 13 in the history. Vera Tucker was 14. Laremy Tunsil was 13. Tristan Wirfs was 13, and I believe Rashawn Slater was 13. So I think that's why it's important and imperative for the Jets to hold on to 13, because that's where we assume that the run on left tackles are going to be there. And with Dwayne Brown double shoulder surgery and Mekhi Becton inability to stay healthy, I think that's what the Jets should do with it. Do you think that's what the decision or what the plan is for the Jets to maybe package those two first-round draft picks at need be, but hold on to 13 at all costs?
So, I mean, I love the concept. I can't tell you that that is for certain the reason that they would do that, especially when, you know, Laremy Tunsil required a gas mask, you know,
to fall to 13.
Well,
right.
Weed's legal, and I have a Amazon delivery business, and I can send it to any prospect that we want to fall to us.
Certainly. To be clear, I'm not judging him. I'm just saying that's the reason why he fell to 13. I thought it was highly entertaining. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, more serious note, I think that certainly the Jets are in a position where, you know, they're confronting the Packers' idea that they've got all the leverage with, well, no, you don't have all the leverage, because you know as well as anybody in the world that you don't want Aaron Rodgers there anymore either. So, you know, I think that this is right now more about, like, defining who has the leverage before it actually gets to the point where they can actually agree in compensation. I'm not trying to dodge the question, because I truly don't know the answer. I don't know if that 13th pick is imperative. But, you know, the good news for this is that I do sense that this is still amicable. I don't feel like both sides are dug in to a point where, you know, this is in any jeopardy of not happening. It's more to your point about being creative, about finding ways to, you know, trade away Elijah Moore to get that second-round pick, find ways to get a better appetite for what the Jets ultimately want to give the Packers to make sure that they can get this done.
Yeah, it's about just satisfying both parties, and usually in a deal, you're satisfied. Nobody's ever fully happy, but you're satisfied with whatever it is that the deal that comes up. And as we're talking with Jeff Darlington, I feel like draft is the first true, like, I don't know, deadline or, you know what I mean? Like, I think because of the picks, because May 1st is a big date for them on Jordan Love, it does feel like the next couple of weeks, like, they're not under any pressure by this weekend, but I think they're going to feel it once the calendar flips to April.
Yeah, and not to mention, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. I know Peter King had floated the idea for NBC, of course. He floated the idea of making sure that the picks perhaps were conditional, that would make the Jets feel more comfortable in case Aaron is 1 year and done. The only thing I'd say about that is you got to think that the Packers will want those picks now for this year's draft from the standpoint that when they give up Aaron Rodgers, the Jets become a better team, and those picks likely would be less valuable next year or the year after that than they will be this year. So if I'm the Packers, again, going back to the leverage point, I do want to get this deal done before the draft, because you got to assume, as much as you're getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, that the Jets are going to be a better team, thus creating less value in future picks.
You know, when people get divorced, you can't worry about the short-term happiness of the person that seems like they're winning at first, right? Like when Tom Brady left, the Patriots can't be upset that Tom went and got good things early on in the departure, because you're thinking about the long term. But I'm wondering, I'm looking at this, at the Jets and the moves that they're making. I'm trying to figure out why Corey Davis is still on the roster, and why maybe Carl Lawson hasn't been removed off the roster, because that can clear up almost $25 million in salary cap space. Yeah. You know, how much of the financial burden – because I'm assuming that Aaron Rodgers, listening to some of his interviews, said that he would maybe alter the contract to make it easier on the salary cap so that they can go out and get a guy like Odell Beckham, still maybe give Quinnen Williams this big-time, you know, Javon Hargrave type of extension. – Like, do we think that, you know, Are we hearing anything about, you know, the money potentially that Green Bay may take or not take? And can that potentially be the holdup in everything, as we know that it's better for the Green Bay Packers to cut Aaron Rodgers after June 2nd?
Yeah, I think from, you know, you pointed out the wide receiver room with Corey Davis. Those moves will still happen. I think it's a matter of timing it out. You don't just cut players and collect assets when, you know, or kind of shape your roster without having, just like what we saw yesterday. The second they acquire Mecole Hardman, okay, we got our slot guy. Now we pull the trigger on that trade with Elijah Moore. You know, so you got to lockstep. So as soon as they know that either with Odell signing or with Aaron Rodgers trade going through, I would imagine, I'm not trying to say that Davis is absolutely gone, but that's where you would see that.
Stevie Wonder can see that one.
I mean, the wide receiver room is pretty clearly crowded. I do think that they're still, I mean, I know they're still very much in the mix for Odell. And to your point, even if they're not, they're going to have to find some ways to clear some space. So those things will happen. Just because they haven't yet doesn't mean the Jets are, you know, are planning on keeping all these guys.
Well, we are just now in sit and wait mode. And as I'm sure you know, Jeff, in New York, we're so patient. We're very good at just relaxing, sitting back, and letting the process play itself out. We're so good.
No doubt. I like that Bart analogy, though, about marriage, because it's very true. It's like as soon as he's both sides, like, kind of get over the emotion of who's got the leverage and all those kinds of things, and everybody realizes that, you know, really, we're all in the same boat here, I think that they'll ultimately come to a trade and it'll get done.
Just because she cheated and she already has her mate don't mean that because you don't have one, you may not find
one.
There
we go.
See, why do you got to go? Like, you got to make it like that, though.
Hey, got something crazy, too, about – like, dramatic. We talked about Kanye, how crazy he was for moving next door to Kel.
Don't do this.
How are we not calling Giselle crazy for moving across the street from Tom Brady? We divorced. I don't want to see you. I don't like you.
Don't do that to Jeff.
They didn't. Okay. I mean, yeah, I sound like my wife.
It's a big psycho, though, right? Like, listen, if we're not together, why are you going to move across the street? Miami's big as hell. Go live somewhere. Go live on Star Island.
Jeff, don't you have to go? Isn't Sports Center waiting for you?
I don't want to see the judo guy stretching you out my front
door. All right. Yeah.
Oh, boy. And by the way, it's jujitsu.
Well done. Drop the mic, Jeff Darlington. My man, thanks so much for coming on. You gotta make it so uncomfortable.
I'm gonna get me a trainer. You know, I'm gonna get me a female trainer. Stretch me in front.
Oh, by the way, Tom did shoot back.
He did. Mm-hmm. Told you. Mm-hmm. They petty. I'm telling you. See, because Tom went out there and he sent the picture in his drawers, so then she gonna get professional lighting to go show her, and then now he got coming back. Now he's shooting back. What he shoot back with?
Well, you remember how in Vanity Fair, which I did read the article.
Sure you did.
I really did.
Man, you stuck them on your wall like Jet Magazine, like I used to do the Jet Magazine Beauty of the Week.
Stuck them on the wall, didn't even need a thumbtack. So what she said, if you remember, was that she shot down the whole idea that she gave me the ultimatum to retire.
Yeah.
Right, remember that? She shot that down. He then goes to social media with a very interesting Ralph Waldo Emerson quote. What is success?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, because you're losing because you ain't got time, cycle time, baby.
It's also to earn the appreciation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends.
Mm. She was a false friend. She was just there for the status quo, for the climb.
Interesting.
She was just there for the climb. See, we got to start putting Giselle in the same category as the Kardashians. She's socially leveled up. That's all that was about.
Don't you dare.
She was trying to get down with the American
leveled
market.
Leveled up.
The American
she
market.
She made
American
more money
market.
Than he
it
did.
It ain't about the money.
No?
It ain't about the money. It's about the fame. Did she become more or less famous because she was Tom Brady's wife? Globally.
Oh. You know what that means? Somebody's trying to call in.
Okay. Tom. Tom, I'm going to chirp you. Tom, I'm going to chirp you during the break, man.
Well, you know what's coming up? We got audio files. And, yeah, you think the officiating in the Knick game last night was terrible? Wait till you hear what happened to the Mavericks. They didn't even get the ball when they were supposed to get the ball. It's so bizarre.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We did get one tweet on this. Mo said, five commandments. Number five, thou shalt always know this ain't for the weak. Four, clean language on the air, please.
Okay.
Right? Three, don't argue with the guy who knows football. Four, I'm sorry. Two, thou shalt have all facts in order. I mean, don't come at me about the whole Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. You could have gotten him for this. I'll lose my mind. Like,
should number one be, don't quote somebody else that ain't on this show, because that don't mean they know more. Yeah. We want to hear what they.
Well, he said this
thou
one
shalt
is.
Quote they.
This one is, thou shalt not call on speaker and have radio on. That's a very, that one has to stay.
Yes.
That one,
yes.
we're gonna definitely engrave that one.
Yes.
We'll keep that one for sure, Mo. Well done on your part. But yes, thou shalt not quote they. Another show.
Yeah.
Don't give me the yeah. they.
Yeah.
Well, they're not saying
they.
No, it ain't no they. It's we.
Because you know what we need to hit them with. Him. Yuck him. Yeah, yo.
Yeah.
Where's that drop at? We need that.
We used to have that
they
drop.
They took that away, man.
No, that was on the network page.
We need, No.
That's
we
not
did,
on
we
this
did,
page.
We did it here first.
We did it here?
And then we took it from here and took it there. Oh. And then we need to bring that back.
We got to find him.
We need to find that.
No, right, we'll find
that. Because I would have gave that to the caller that called it right before they get dropped.
Pusick's saying that we don't have it here.
We need to get it.
Because they're afraid of it.
No, we need to get that back. Because when somebody break the commandment, we need to go
him.
And then drop them. That's how we going to roll. Son.
Never did it here? Yeah, I thought we did that in Seaport.
Okay. Yeah, I probably was telling a story about how we used to do Coach Singletary.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, so all right. Anyways.
Yeah.
Just. We got more things to add to this page. By the time we're done with this page, all the drops will be like this, small, I won't be able to read them.
Anthony, remember we used to have a drop back in the day? It was about Popeye's chicken. I don't remember what it was. I know we had something where we were talking about Popeye's.
We did?
Yeah, it was something on there that was about Popeye's. That was like when we were doing the COVID shows.
Oh, those COVID shows?
Yeah.
Those were special.
Yeah. I mean, we made the Last Dance documentary like it was happening, like it was a Game 7 championship
we
series.
Did. We were taking calls on that, arguing about things that happened 30 years ago. All right, anyways, your calls at 800-919-3776. But right now, it is time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. The Audio File.
All right, let's see. So, Ja Morant back after, of course, he had that stayed away from the team for a while with all the issues that were going on with him. Getting caught in a club with a gun and then getting suspended, or actually they said he'll be away from the team is how they put it. Him admitting that he needed to get some help. A lot of stuff going on with him. And so he's back, and of course, it's a home game. That's the best time to bring somebody back, and then you do it against the Houston Rockets, not a very good team. It actually ended up being a pretty entertaining game. The Rockets have been way more competitive this time of year. So for the first time in his career, Ja Morant didn't start. Came off the bench, played 24 minutes, had 17 points, looked very much as Ja Morant always looks.
Crazy dunk.
He's so bouncy. He's very good. So the Grizzlies get the win, and Ja Morant talks about his first game back since being suspended. Remember, what was it, an 8-game suspension, right? But he had served 6.
Yeah, so.
And that's the 2, and then they get him back into the lineup just in time for the playoffs.
Before the game, you know, I did some meditation. Basically just ease, you know, the nerves, the emotions, you know, I was feeling, you know, coming back. It was a lot, but it kind of helped me. And then, you know, once I, you know, got out there on the court, you know, just seeing, you know, how the fans, you know, reacted to me being back, definitely, you know, helped me a lot, you know, made me, you know, feel good inside. And yeah, man, it was, I don't know, I can't put it in words. You know, I'm kind of numb, you know, right now, but, you know, thankful for everybody.
It's such a tough situation because no way that you can correct those issues that you have in such a short period.
But what do you think the issues are? He's never really talked exactly about the issues.
Well, clearly,
it sounds like anxiety.
Yeah, well, clearly he's struggling with being super famous. That's tough.
Okay.
Also struggling with probably carrying all the issues and problems of family members. Mm-hmm. You know, they put it at his side and then they involve him, right? His mother involved him, right? His sister involved him. Right, so not only that, like you, he's trying to be the protector, but it's like, yo, how are you being the protector? Well, you got a whole dad, like your dad. Like, why wouldn't the wife call his father if they're married? Right, they're not divorced, are they?
No, I don't believe
that. So why the hell would you call your son to come do something when your husband ain't that old anyway? What, her husband got to be in his 40s, right?
Well, here's the interesting thing about the dad, T, because you've talked about the parent issue here.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that he really allowed himself to become the celebrity.
Yes.
Looks like Usher. He
thirst
would make
traffic.
Sure he looked
yeah.
like. So what was he doing at a game like his first game back? You would think, T, this is a good time for you to probably just stay in the shadows.
That'd be about your son.
Oh, no. Front and center. Hoodie on. Redemption with a photo of his son. Everybody see me. Make sure he was interviewed.
It's a thirst
talked track. About how I would do anything for my son. I would die for
trouble.
My son.
But keep him out of trouble.
Like him, like what bothers me is everything
it's
has
bad,
to be
bad parenting.
So emotional. Like everything with this guy, I would die for him. Why?
Why redemption?
Just back off and let him be.
What's the redemption?
I don't know.
This is self-inflicted. And why don't your wife feel comfortable calling you
and then
instead
he's doing
of calling
this.
Your son?
And then he's doing this. Forget what the world got to say about you. You can only be judged by one. Enough of this stuff. This kind of crap.
He's
why.
He's part of the problem.
He's really. Somebody's got an intervention with the dad.
If you're
the Grizzlies, somebody's got to sit down with the father and say, hey, do this. How about this? Sit in the suite. Get out of the front. You don't need to be there and stop talking to people.
LeVar Ball drug his kids to the finish line, and he disappeared.
And then you never saw him again.
That's what a dad's supposed to do. It ain't about you. It's your son's time to be the man.
I'm with you.
Like, you got him to adulthood. You did everything. You trained him and all that stuff. But come on, man. He's part of the problem. Listen.
All right, we're late on this, though. I really want to move on. But I totally understand. I probably shouldn't have added that part about T, but I just felt like you brought up
put
your parents
in context,
a lot.
Yeah.
All right. So quickly here, I don't want to race through this either because there were a lot of issues with officiating. Monty Williams was pissed off in his game as the Suns lost. Their game, the terrible 46-20 free throw disparity in that game. They lose to the Lakers, but this Warriors Mavericks thing, you got to hear it to believe it. So it was in the third quarter. They lose the game by 2. The Warriors had possession. I mean, the Mavericks had possession. Coming out of a timeout, and they didn't know it. And here, you got to hear it like this. So I'll give you the call. ESPN Radio has the call. The great Mark Kesicher and Corey Alexander on the call here. As out of a timeout, Dallas had the ball, but they didn't know it.
He'll send it to Lamb. Topside 3 in and out. Rebound. We got a push and a whistle. And is it going to go against Looney on the push against Doncic? Either way, it's going to Dallas.
All right, so it's going to Dallas.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's out of the timeout.
Golden State gets the basketball. Dallas all lined up.
Out of timeouts, nobody was there.
And when we went to break, there was confusion regarding whose basketball it was. Golden State takes it out and scores the bucket.
I mean, they inbounded Cavani. Nobody was there. Dallas wasn't ready. He slam dunked it home.
But seriously, it almost looked as though Dallas was defending the wrong basket because they were all back. It wasn't as though someone for Dallas went to take the basketball out of bounds as they were going down to their end of the
floor. So you hear the confusion, right? You hear the confusion that's going on here.
I saw the confusion.
So like, what if you never saw it, they come out of the timeout. The official is on the baseline holding the basketball.
Right. They're
the Mavericks go back on defense.
I thought the Mavs thought they were on offense and they were taking it side out because it was
they're all standing over there. The Warriors are standing around the ball, and the official hands the ball
right
to the Warriors. It's not their ball.
Right.
So anyway, Jason Kidd, what the hell happened?
It wasn't really explained. I think there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people were out of position. The court was split. We're on one side and the Warriors on another, and you have a referee on the baseline. Mike was on the baseline, so I would assume Mike thought it was our ball too. If there's confusion, it's easy to just come in and blow the whistle and get us restarted.
That's it.
Because it was confusion. Understanding that we thought it was our ball. There was quite a few people out of position on that play. It's easy, it's correctable, but you first have to admit there was a mistake. But there wasn't. And so we have to continue to keep playing.
So the official is Michael Smith, who instead of blowing the whistle and waving to the Mavericks,
said, hey, down here,
just handed the ball to the Warriors. Like, all right, you take it. You don't do that.
And the crazy thing is, right, they lost by two, and they're in a tight race, and it's a big difference between one win or two win could take you from 10, you know, to fifth or sixth in that division. And the fact is, he pointed this way. Then it was a TV timeout, a scheduled timeout.
Right.
They call a timeout. So the Mavericks are setting up like they're getting the ball side out. Meanwhile, you got all five players of the Mavericks on one end. You got the other five of the Warriors on the other end. And instead of saying, you know, usually you come out, you blow the whistle. Hey, down here.
I've never seen a ref tell a player we're over here.
Especially when they're all over there and they're all over there.
Weird.
Like, if they were all sitting on the bench, they would blow the whistle and call them down, right?
So Jason Kidd had Steve Kerr had the best line when he called it the best play he's ever called.
It's crazy.
Like,
and the points with the Looney, too, the only person that could dunk the ball in because Draymond might have hung himself or Steph couldn't get it. So it's like, no layup. Let's just get the easy dunk.
All right, that's audio files.
Crazy.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Zion Williamson has a new tattoo on his back in the same. You remember LeBron famously had Chosen One right on his back?
Yeah.
Right?
What has he got? Supersize?
No, he has Mount Zion. Which I don't know if that's a...
Why would you want to... If people already think you're fat...
Really think about it.
If people think you're fat and they're making fun of you at a Mountain Dew commercial, why would you want to be a Mount anything?
I don't know. But that's the tattoo that he got across his back while he's been out with a hamstring injury that has basically taken out most of the
season. Who's that got attacked and got affected? Oh, Chapman.
Yeah. Like, Aroldis Chapman.
That's all we need for him to get him attacked.
Now, here's the thing, though. Zion has now been cleared for on-court work.
Wait.
And the hamstring will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Dude has a hamstring injury that has kept him out for the bulk of the season again. He has played in less games than he's missed as an NBA player.
Last time somebody hurt their hamstring, it was because they were out of shape, right? James Harden?
Yeah.
Maybe Mount Mutombo or Mount Zion might need to, like, you only do stuff like that happen when you're not in shape.
Exactly.
You can lose weight and not be in shape.
His biggest issue has always been his conditioning. Nothing else. And last year when it was time to get paid, he was in shape and he was unbelievable. And what'd they do? He got paid.
But that was during the offseason, right? Because he never came back.
And then after, he got... But when he played, he was unbelievable.
For all our listeners out there, just understand, he's a basketball version of Mekhi Becton. Losing the weight because he's trying to get that bag.
Well, no.
Can't stay healthy.
Last year, he got the bag. He got it.
Yeah, but that...
Because he got into great shape and he played and everybody was like, oh my God, he's like unbelievable. But then the fact that he's got paid and then already this year, like he's not building off of any of this stuff... So listen to what our good friend Kendrick Perkins had to say about this whole situation. He was on NBA Today.
I would actually trade Zion.
To who?
I would find
somebody.
I would find someone and trade him because, again, you just asked the question about, for us, like, basically, can you trust him to be your franchise guy? And since he came in the league, no, because you can't trust that he's going to be available on the floor. And so when I look at this situation, I'm like, okay, this is starting to be a trend. Like every single season, we're like, oh, Zion and lost weight. Zion looks healthy. Then all of a sudden, this happens. If I'm the Pelicans, I have Brandon Ingram. I have CJ McCollum. I have a bunch of young pieces that are over there playing extremely hard that has a bright future. I would actually consider trading him this offseason, to be honest with you.
It's amazing to think that we're there.
So you're going to give him a supermax, then you can trade him? Like. But
that's usually what happens is that, you know, you get him signed and then you see what he's really about and then you decide it's time to move on. And for the Pelicans, are they just tired of this game that they're playing? And I don't think – I told you this. Remember last year when I talked about how the Knicks should be all in on this and all that stuff? I don't think this is about him not wanting to play basketball. I don't think he likes it there. I don't think he wants to be there. I think he stayed for the – because he got the money. I don't think he's inspired to play there. And I think he's got to get out of there. Now – should the Knicks make a move on him? No way. And here's why. It's dangerous because it's such a major risk with how easily he gets injured. It's tantalizing, but not at this point. No way.
Yeah.
No way. I would have been all in last year, and I was, but no way. But I do think that he is just not inspired to play basketball and not inspired to be in shape and not inspired to diet. He's never had to do this stuff because he's always physically dominated at his level. This is the first time he's being challenged to be a dedicated athlete, and he just doesn't want to do it.
And the first time he has to play this many games.
That's right.
Right, in college, it's still a short season relatively to the NBA. And in high school, he was just bigger and faster and better than
anybody. He was always bigger and stronger.
So he was always coasting. He was never pushing himself.
Right.
Like, because you only hurt your hamstring, especially in basketball. Because you're never really at 100% full speed. Like,
no, that's a conditioning injury.
It's not like football. It's exactly.
It's a conditioning injury. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just this Zion story is something to keep an eye on. It really is amazing to think that when he's at his best, he is one of the best players in the league. But it's sad. The number one overall pick, and as Perk's saying, and don't think that they're not kicking this around right now in New Orleans.
Because
they should trade him.
They had one of the best records when he was healthy at the beginning of the season. They look unstoppable.
They
how much length they had, and mm-hmm. all, you know, then Brandon Ingram got hurt.
But he keeps letting them down, and eventually your teammates start to get, they've had enough of it.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.